Well, we finally came up with a name for this thing.
Yep. And got a whole new studio.
Yeah. We're looking fancy.
Yeah, it's about time. Couches.
So, welcome to the Accelerate Podcast.
Yep.
My name is Evo.
I'm Aiden.
I'm Trent.
And today we're going to be discussing something, well, something that I don't like, but one of these guys likes. In fact, a little too much.
I'll say it's not me. I don't like it either, so narrows it down to one person.
Who would it be?
I might have done something bad.
Might have. That's a big understatement.
It's not bad, but it's definitely a big change.
Yeah, it's pretty sick.
Why don't you go ahead and tell us what you did?
Okay, so I had an M4 competition, the G82.
That you liked a lot.
I liked a lot. My favorite car ever. Still is my favorite car I've ever owned. Mm-hmm. But car payments are stupid, and the market's terrible, and I just didn't want to be stuck in a car like that. Right. Normal financial, like, smart decisions.
Sure, sure.
So there is one company that creates quick cars that are very technologically advanced and that are a good price. The problem with that company is that they don't have engines under the hood. And so...
You bought a Tesla Model 3.
I didn't buy a Tesla Model 3 Performance. I leased a Tesla Model 3 Performance, and it's the brand new 2024 model.
You still have a Tesla. That's the issue.
Yes, I have a Tesla.
So I got a serious question for you. Like, this is the most serious question you've ever gotten in your life. How many Uber rides have you given?
Zero. The Performance one's not known for the Uber stuff.
All right, like, but in all seriousness, though, walk us through this car. Is it nice? What is it?
Okay, so, well, I'll walk you through the whole from start to finish. The ordering experience, say what you will about Tesla, and we'll get into that later about the whole stigma about it. The ordering experience and procuring the car is the most seamless process of any new vehicle purchase or lease.
It's through an app, ever. Right?
Something like everything that? Is through an app.
Yeah.
You order the car. Well, okay, you order the car online or on your phone for $250. You create an account, put on all your card information. All of a sudden, now you have an account with Tesla. Your order shows up in the app. Your car that you ordered shows up in the app. Everything's there. It walks you through the whole process of setting up the financing or the lease or the cash purchase. So you apply for it. You choose the financing option you want. You do your down payment and everything in there. You go through and accept all the lease agreement terms, everything like that. I literally did everything through the app a day before I picked it up. Paid my upfront payment that I had to make, the first time payment, which is about $2,000 if you don't put anything down. And then I took an Uber to the Tesla dealership, walked up to my car. They had a little placard that said, "Congratulations, Aiden. Here's your new Model 3 Performance." And I pulled my phone out, and immediately my phone started pairing to the car. And then all I had to do was touch the door handle, thing unlocks, and starts. By the way, because the second it opens, it starts.
Wow.
As long as you have the key. And so I was like, it was the most seamless driving or delivery experience and car purchase experience ever. And that is my first new car, by the way.
So you didn't deal with a salesman?
No,
with
I didn't talk finance to manager?
Wow.
I will say that's actually like one of the perks of Tesla. I will say it's really nice, especially because people are intimidated by the dealership. So
yeah. Of course they are. Yeah.
I personally rather buy a car.
Tesla's the type of, like, it's not like going to, like, a dealership where they have a used Tesla on the lot and they're going to mark it up $5,000 because it's a used car. The price on the website is the price you pay, just bar none. The thing that Tesla does is it's like the order queue system. So it's like if there isn't a lot of, like, say when the Model S Plaid came out, right? When the chip shortage was going on and all that, it wasn't, Tesla didn't say we're going to mark these up. They were expensive. They were like $120,000 back then, not 80 like they are now. But they didn't say, oh, we're going to mark these up at the dealer by like $20,000. It was just like, oh, you're going to wait a year for your car.
Mm-hmm.
So because they had order queues and everything like that.
Sure. Sure.
So, but I think the fact that you get that ordering experience where it's, I walk in there and 15 minutes later, I have my car and I'm gone and I don't have to speak to a single person. The key cards were in the center console waiting for me. They still have to be paired. I didn't bear them. And then it was just waiting for my phone to connect. And they make it super seamless. I wish the cars came with 100% battery. Mine came with about 75%, which isn't a big deal. I think they do that on purpose for transport reasons, but it's not gas, so I don't know the exact reason behind it. But I'd say of any car out there, or any car purchasing experience, I wish every manufacturer would just do it like Tesla. Because you would be so much more of a trustworthy, people would like manufacturers more and dealers more if I didn't have to sit there in front of a salesperson and a finance manager for 3 hours waiting to get my car. Your credit, and like the problem is even like the credit application process was like a 20-second thing. Put in your social and your birthday name and everything like that. 20 seconds later, you have approval. There isn't sitting there going through banks and everything like that. It chooses the best bank that it thinks that you're going to want. So I got like Ally for my lease. Hmm. They do my lease. And then there's no, you walk in there when you go pick up the car. There is no talking to finance guys. There's no doing anything because it's already done through the app. The placard, the temporary placard on the car, right and go.
Wow.
Yeah, everything's there. And not, no one, it, just because your car seat outside, no one can mess with it because they don't have keys. Like, so no one can mess with your car. Your phone has to be the key. And the only thing that can access the car when it's new is your phone. Okay.
Go ahead, Ian.
I was going to say, that's all great and whatnot if you're just looking for a regular car, right? But what about, and I might just be playing devil's advocate here, but what if I go buy a Aventador SVJ? I go buy a Pagani Huayra. I go buy a GT3 RS. You want that special feeling of a delivery bay and, you know, as you see your car and
you want the experience.
Yeah, it's in the middle of the showroom. Like
the experience that you're wanting isn't because you want to sit in front of a salesperson or a finance manager. The sales experience you're wanting is because you're spending $500,000. It's going to be a custom tailored experience for that vehicle that's different than any other car ever.
Yeah, but Tesla does the deliveries for every single car the same.
Yeah.
Like even for the Cybertruck, I watch people get in deliveries of them. They're paying like $200,000 for this truck, right? And it's just parked outside and you walk up to it and you get it and you drive off. Which, again, if you're looking for a regular car, like a Model 3, a Model S, you're just looking for a regular everyday driver and you don't want to deal with anything else, that's great.
Yeah.
But if you're paying a lot of money for a car.
Oh, yeah. I didn't pay a lot of money for this.
You need the experience.
And that leads me into a great point. I mean, a lot of people out there, and surprisingly, I took this car to a car meet last night and people liked it. They thought they were like, is that the new Model 3? Because it looks completely different. It's so much better looking. And because it's got this like plaid looking badge on the back now. And people were, and Jacob, our friend, he looked at it. He's like, did you stick a plaid badge on the back of your car? I was like, no, that's the new Model 3 Performance badge. It looks exactly like a plaid badge. And, but I was surprised about the reception of it because a lot of people have said, you know, this is just a lot better of a car, but it is a regular car.
Sure.
It's not as regular as like a base model, but it is basically a little more regular traffic than a G82M. That's for sure.
So, I mean, I like hearing about the buying experience, but what are our overall thoughts about Tesla in general? I know we all have different thoughts and might be a little controversial.
You go first. You guys go first because you guys are going to have a more, not biased opinion because I've now owned 6 gas cars, and this is my first electric car, so I will have a more balanced perspective on this. You guys go first, because you guys are going to have a way more like out-to-space perspective on what you guys feel about Tesla, because we've all driven Teslas before I even own this. The problem is when you only drive it for 3 hours or 4 hours, you're not getting the full time to learn the car and understand why people love them so much, because you see them all over the place. So people do like them. They're good cars. So you guys go first and tell me what you guys think of overall as Tesla and their cars. And then I'll go and give you that more balanced perspective on it.
Sure.
Trey, you want to go first or you want me?
You go ahead and start.
Right. So I actually do have experience living with the Tesla. I had one for about a week.
Oh,
okay. I had a Model 3, regular, long range. It was fine. Just a regular car. On it, that's what it is, though. It's just a regular car. With me, I don't like boring cars. Mm-hmm. I mean, you see what I drive.
Yeah.
I have a 2004 Mercedes E55 that's full bolt on, no cats, straight pipe. Mm-hmm. Like that's what I like.
Right.
I like hearing cars. You know what I mean? For me, I don't care so much about speed. I mean, having a fast car is cool.
Right.
I'm a big sound person. Mm-hmm. Like, well, not just with cars, but with everything, like music and everything. I like hearing the sound. So if the car doesn't make a sound or if it's a gimmick, like the whirring sound and all that, it just doesn't do anything for me. Mm-hmm. Like it's fast, but I bet, you know, the whole Tesla launch control thing gets boring after a week. I know it did in the one I drove, and again, it wasn't a performance.
Well, the Model S Plaid was just boring after a week.
Yeah,
like boring after like an hour with it. because it's just so constant. It's,
and it's just, you just do the
that's
same
the thing. Only special thing to me that's about the Pilot is the launch. One thing I hate is people say, oh, they're fast cars. Teslas are quick cars. They're quick off the line. They are fast, yes.
Oh, buddy, I got something for you. I didn't tell you
what the
performance specs were. My Tesla has a higher top speed and has the same exact 0-60, 60 to 130, and quarter mile time as my M4. It used to be that way.
You said same top speed too?
It's a higher top speed.
Higher top speed?
The M4 was 155. My performance one is 160.
Well, so my thing is if you're running top speed though in an electric car for a while, have fun charging your battery for a couple hours.
No, okay, yeah, 100%. You'll never hit that top speed. My point is what it used to be at the EVs is, the 0-60 was fast and then it would fall off. What it is, that's not the case now.
Mm-hmm.
They do hold their own. That's only like if you buy, and I'm sorry for it, if you buy a Mach-E GT, which is a complete garbage car, then yes, that is still the case. But Teslas have solved that problem for the last couple of years. And the same thing with the Model S Plaid is they just pull.
But I will say it seems like my biggest pet peeve is honestly the Tesla fanboys. They're like these super kids from years ago Tesla's the greatest car to them. They'll be like, oh, it can beat everything. You put it up against Grand's hypercar. Hypercar is going to smoke in a long distance run after a while.
See, that's the thing. And like, I only brought up the thing because I wanted to make it clear that it's like,
it can compete with
cars in its class.
Yes.
I'm not going to sit here and say the Tesla is the best car because it's not. And there are a lot better things out there, but, and I'll get into that a little more later, but I think it's about its value is where I find where at least the Model 3 performance creates its biggest shockwave is its value. So,
but you have any other thoughts on Tesla?
I don't know. I can't do it. I can't do it. I don't hate the cars. I'll be straight up and honest. I don't hate the cars. I like the cars. I think they're good if you're just looking for a daily driver to get to work. It's a great car.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're looking for a special car, there's no Tesla out there that will fill that void. I don't think so. I don't care if it's the Cybertruck, the Roadster. I don't care. There's something about getting in your 2009 Ferrari 430 Scuderia, turning the key, clicking the start button, hearing the flat plane crank V8.
It's theater.
And the F1 gearbox, while it's slow shifting, there is something about that. I mean, the emotional side behind those cars, Tesla will never, ever have that.
Oh, 100%.
Tesla's, whenever I've sat in Tesla, every Tesla I've driven, it has no soul. There's nothing that stands out to me. It feels probably the most boring driving experience. Grant's got the launch control, but even just driving a Honda Civic, it feels like there's more soul to that car. Like there's more love that went into the actual building of the car. The Tesla just feels like let's make this real quick. Let's get it out there.
It's an iPhone.
Yeah.
Wheels.
Yeah. Well, they're built super quick on a production line.
Yeah, that too. The build quality is a lot better now.
Well, what were you considering aside from this Tesla?
I looked at the M2, the new M2.
That's a little bit more expensive.
87. It is a little more expensive. Not quite, but the lease payment was like $200 more. So I was looking at the G87 M2. I looked at an F82 M4, but I just didn't want to go back to the F generation cars. That would have just been a waste. I was still going to end up paying $50,000 for like a 2019 or a 2020. If I wanted like decent miles, something like that. What else? I looked at Caymans, pre 718 Caymans. When they all had a flat six. I looked at C63s, Mercedes. I was thinking about switching to Mercedes, but I couldn't do it because the C63s, if you want like when I had the Panamericana grill, they're now ridiculously priced because people want the V8s. Mm-hmm. So they shot up in price. I didn't look at anything really American. I think I peeked at the new Mustang GT, and I think I peeked at like a ZL1. I did look at C8 Corvettes, but I didn't, like, I feel like it was just, my dad had a C8, and I liked the car a lot, but it just didn't feel right to do a C8 Corvette. Should come. But those are the biggest ones I looked at. What got me on Tesla was,
And you guys can go check this at home. Their lease calculator and their finance calculator, by the way, is about dead accurate. Like, it's not like most websites where it's all over the place for fees and everything. Like, it shows you a lot if you click show fees. What got me was its value. My car, if you were to finance it, is a $55,000 car. The only option I did was the white exterior. The white interior is free. So if you do black or white, it's free on the performance. And so I was playing around with it. And my friend, one of my other friends, is a huge, like, I don't want to say fanboy, but he appreciates Teslas for what they are. And just like I do. And so I was playing around with it. And it said the lease payment was, the leases on those things are insanely good. And so is the insurance, by the way. I mean, my insurance now is half of what it was on the M4. I pay $163 to be insured, which is nothing. At max coverage limit. And so it was the price. And then I think when you take a step back and you look at Teslas for what they are and you appreciate them for what they are and kind of weigh that to what they are, because you're absolutely right. The hardest thing was removing the theater. If I for the longest time could not get over the fact of it didn't have a start button, it didn't have an engine, it didn't have anything. But then when you get in it and when you see it, yes, it's a soulless car without an engine and it doesn't make any noise. But when you start to appreciate, like if you're a tech guy like I am, because I work in tech, but you appreciate the refinement in the technology. Because those cars are literally the most advanced vehicles on the market. You will not, and I used to be the guy who would say, no, BMW iDrive 8.1 and everything. That'll do everything that a Tesla will. No, it won't. There is not a single car on the planet that will do what a Tesla does. I don't care if it is an electric car from another manufacturer. I don't care if it's some of the new German tech and stuff. They just don't have it. They have the capability, but it's expensive. And Tesla, for some reason, has managed to get it down to a science where they can still keep their cars cheap, but put all this stuff. And it was weird to me because I got in the car and it was like I was stepping into a Model S. There's very little plastic. Most of it's leather, at least some kind of leatherette material. Every surface feels really well built. The build quality is like way better than it used to be. Tesla build quality used to suck, but now it's a lot better than it used to be. The interior's quiet. The ride is soft, and now it's got my car has adaptive suspensions. I switch between modes on the car, like sanity, chill, and normal. The suspension characteristics change. So, but I appreciate it because of everything that they've gone into it with. The care here isn't like with an M division or an AMG division, where it's like we need to focus on making our engines better. Tesla's main focus is making their technology better. Because they know they aren't going to be able to sell it based on its performance. Not to car people like us. They can't sell it on that. That's not, yes, it's fast. It is wicked fast. And I was just telling these guys, it pulls just as hard as my M4 competent. It just doesn't stop. But that's not the selling point, I don't think, for people like me. What it was is I get to have that and all this technology and the car's 55 grand, which is $30,000 to $40,000 cheaper to the car next to the car, the gas car that can do the same exact thing, but it costs $30,000 to $40,000. Perfect example is an M3 Competition xDrive. That is probably the closest car to its performance level with all of its tech and its size. And it's $95,000 if you put a decent amount of options into it. And it's ridiculous. So I'm not going to sit here. I did not get the car because I was saving the environment. I did not get the car because I think it's some kind of chick magnet. I didn't get the car because I wanted to be a Tesla douche. I got the car.
Well, you are, so.
Yeah, now I am. But I'm not going to sit here and say that Teslas are better than every other car on the planet because they aren't.
Did you consider at all a Porsche Taycan?
Yes. Because really? Their used
value. Me and Trent had an interesting talk about Porsche Taycans.
Their used value is incredible.
Why is that?
Well, because electric cars right now just lose a bunch of value, which is why I did a lease.
Yeah, sure.
And so you can pick up a Taycan Turbo, which is a $200,000 car new. If it has 10,000 miles, 15,000 miles on it, and it's 2 years old, that same Turbo is now $100,000 for a Taycan Turbo. And Taycans are nicer than Model S's. Taycans are nice cars.
Except for the part when they burned down.
Yeah, that's not very fun.
Why, did something happen to one explode or something?
No, just the Daikon's just not doing real well right now.
No, they're doing a little too hot.
Did something happen when I was gone to a Daikon?
No, they just trim to that when they're hooked up to like chargers, they have a tendency to catch on fire.
Yeah, well, charging experience.
Didn't you say that? Or no?
So that brings me to another great point. I charged yesterday at a supercharger, right? And the funny thing was, I was with my girlfriend. We go to a supercharger because we had driven the living crap out of it on its first day we had it, because we were just all over the city, like flooring it around and stuff like that. Which after a while, it does get boring. But we went to a supercharger yesterday, right before we went to lunch. And we pull into the supercharger, I plug it in, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, what do I do? I had to be there for 20 minutes. That's how long it takes to fast charge to 80%. I was at like 15% to 80% was about 20 minutes.
That's not bad at all.
And it cost me $9 for 200 miles worth of range.
That's insane.
You gas car lovers, I still pay less than a quarter of what you do on fuel. That's the truth.
Yeah, but does your electricity smell like gasoline?
No, I do not. Then I don't want to hear gas station. Yeah.
That's interesting.
Can you stop and get snacks at the Tesla charging stations? Like you can't at a gas station?
It depends where this charging station is, but you know what? I sat there and I was like, we just booted up Hulu and watched Rick and Morty on the
top. It's interesting you bring that up because my dad's driving, he's doing Uber Lyft.
Uh-huh.
And with those companies, you can rent a car from Hertz.
Mm-hmm.
So you rent it, and they give him this little Chevy Bolt EUV, those little hatchback.
Cheap little $25,000
EUVs. No, they're less than that. They're like 20 grand. I think less than that, actually.
Yeah.
Dude, he's put like 7,000 miles on it a month.
Yeah, probably.
But the biggest problem he has is charging the thing, because you can only charge them at Electrify America. There's very limited amounts of stations.
Yeah, Teslas have the most diverse charging network you can use in Electrify America or a Tesla.
He plugs the car in. Well, no, you can now charge a Tesla.
Now you can, because you can add other EVs. Yeah. If you go into the app, you can add other EVs into the app.
So you click on, you go in there, you plug it in. I know this because I've taken the car to get a charge for it.
Mm-hmm.
Plug it in to go from, like, let's say 30, 40% to 80, it's like an hour and a half. And that's on fast charging.
Yeah, it's because...
And it's 56 cents a kilowatt. Costs like $30 to charge it.
That's because... Okay, so I do pay $12.99 for the cheaper power. I pay a subscription. It's because you have more access to like charging networks and everything like that. And it makes the power a little cheaper.
Wait. Hold on. Back.
They lower your power rate.
No. Not that part. So you're paying $12.99 to have access to charging stations?
No. Okay, that's not what I mean. It's like... I don't know how to explain it. It's one of the features. The biggest feature is of that. I don't want to say feature. The biggest thing is that if you pay the $12.99, your power's cheaper. Yeah, I did the math. Over time, it works out to be a bit less if you pay the $12.99 per month, because it lowers your power cost.
Sure.
But it's the way that the Tesla supercharger. Of course, Tesla is not going to deliver. I think it was like, I don't even remember what the power rate was. It was because they're 240 volt, right? They're superchargers. But it was, I think with EVs, I think Tesla purposely nerfs how fast they charge other EVs. Because with Teslas and Tesla superchargers, if you're charging a Tesla, the Tesla product, it's not a liability. Versus if you blow up a Chevy Bolt with a Tesla supercharger because you charge it too fast, Tesla doesn't have the testing standards for how fast they can charge that. So I can see how it's a legal liability issue if you deliver all that power at once. I think it's more like a safety testing issue. And it might be, you know, screw you. You should have bought a Tesla, not a Chevy Bolt. But it was a very seamless experience. You literally walk up, plug it in, car starts charging. Car says, okay, you're done. You pull it out and drive off. And the entire time, you can just watch TV on your car, because I have a Netflix and YouTube app. And so now the one thing you said that it's like the Uber thing. You drive an Uber driver's car.
Mm-hmm.
Uber drivers don't drive Model 3 performances.
That's right. They drive Model 3s.
They drive bases.
The Model 3 base and the Model 3 performance look the exact same on the outside.
Not now. There's more differences now than there used to.
Yeah, I was like, but people who don't know cars, they're not going to tell the difference.
Yeah, okay. I'll give you that. I mean, I would never drive Uber because I don't have to drive Uber. But yeah, I mean, that's what they're really good for, because they're so cost efficient. I get the Uber stigma because it's like, freaking electricity is nothing at all. So, but trust me, I'm not driving Uber. I promise. I did not get the scrunch.
He says that a month from now, we're going to see him with an earpiece and
We'll see the Uber sticker on them.
Into the freaking earpiece with like the bead seat backs and everything. Yep.
We're actually going to call an Uber. He's going to come pick us up later.
Oh my God. I don't know. I'm
happy with it. That's, you know what? What the car community gets wrong, gas or electric, if you're happy with your car, then people's criticism shouldn't bother you.
See, I think my issue with Tesla, I don't really have an issue with Tesla, the cars. I mean, I'm not a big fan of how they look and all that, but as cars, I know they're financially, it makes sense. They're good cars. What I think has ruined it for me, honestly, is what I said before, just the people who love them so much. Like, we've made videos. One of our other hosts, Jason, he made a video and it got posted last week, and all the comments are just people like bagging on him just because he gave his opinion about the Tesla. I'm like, there's so
review?
Model Y. Yeah.
Okay.
And he was just talking about like things he doesn't like in the car, things he does like, and they were all just coming after him just because they're like, oh, well, you're brain dead. You don't know anything about cars, like stuff and like that's that.
Wrong.
So that's I think Tesla's not a bad car brand. But the people who...
The community act, behind the
community,
cars.
Yeah, the Tesla community, yeah. I think, is
that's
the
what makes people
issue.
Hate Teslas. It's its community. And I'm not going to be a part of that community that puts people down because they don't drive a Tesla, because that's wrong. I didn't put people down when they went and bought an N340i or instead of an M3.
You put me down.
I put you down because you turn around and you make fun of me for this. We have a different relationship. But... if you're going around to people, it doesn't matter if you're driving a Tesla, a Honda Civic, a BMW M5, or a Ferrari LaFerrari. You shouldn't be putting other people down because of what they drive.
Yeah. Oh, one of my...
No matter what.
One of my favorite things that happened the other day when we were filming, we were in a... Matisse, remember which car we were driving?
Is the Grand Wagoneer or the Jeep?
No. We took a car out. Oh, we were in Jason's Cadillac CT4.
Yeah.
We're driving down the street. A Tesla pulls up to us and tells us to go. They want to race us. I'm like, we are not going to race an electric car and just the Cadillac CT4. I'm like, these people want
to
race.
But that's no different than a VQ owner pulling up to a freaking stoplight and revving his engine.
But VQ owners are just, they're built different.
But that's
they're
the same as like a 392 owner doing it. That's just the car community in general. That's just a Tesla owner acting like any other person with a fast car. You know what I mean?
I don't go up to a stoplight with my E55 and rev it at people. Like,
I'm not saying that you should do that. What I'm saying is that's no different than cocky people in a 392 or a VQ or even in some crazy, like a Mustang.
But I know, but just an unfair advantage with the Tesla just because they have so much torque. Oh, okay, but this person was also riding our ass because we wouldn't race them.
That's a little
bit. But here's the thing. The Tesla gives the bad impression of you should try to race these people. Because it's easy. You just stomp the gas.
Tesla owners get cocky because they know they'll win.
Like,
at least for the first 100 miles an hour or so, they'll be in front.
I don't know, man. But here's another thing. How are you going to modify your Tesla? What are you going
to
do to it?
Nothing.
You can go to SEMA and buy those aftermarket speakers to get some exhaust sound?
That's the stupidest thing ever. I might just, as a joke video, go put the car speakers on it just to see.
The what?
Or go put speakers on it or whatever to get the car sound.
Oh.
Or you just make the sounds when you're driving with your mouth.
Or I can plug in a USB, upload a sound into the horn, and hold the horn down, and it'll play the sound of a V8 when I'm driving.
That has got to be the most fruitiest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Okay, so one more story, because I know we're going high on time here. The other night when I got the car, it was my first time launching and everything like that. So we launch it. It goes fast. Me and my friends are laughing and everything like that. Well, we pulled up to a T. Turn. So we got to go left or right. We're in Mountains Edge. And so this Tacoma with this old lady in it, it probably had to be a 10-year-old Tacoma with this old lady in it. She pulls up. She's going right. I'm going left. The Model 3 probably stands this tall off the ground at max. Mm-hmm. It's not a very tall car. So if you're in a truck, you can see over it. Well, she tells me to roll my window down. I go, okay, roll the window down. And she flips me off and speeds off into the distance. I'm like,
I really like her.
I'm like, what did I do? You're mad because I drive a Tesla? Or are you mad because I blocked your view? I don't know. She flipped me off and I was just like.
Maybe she was pissed off that you were doing launches in a neighborhood.
No, she didn't see it because we weren't in a neighborhood. We were on it.
We know she didn't hear it, so.
And she definitely didn't hear it. So, no, she was just an angry old bag who was mad at me because I drive an electric car. She was definitely on the alt-right side of it, that's for sure. She was missing teeth. There must have been some kind of meth addiction there.
Oh, my God.
Something like that.
Jesus. Wow. Well, here, let's get down to it. You guys let us know what you think. Is he smart guy for buying a Tesla, or is he just NPC enough? You let us know down below what you guys think, and I guess we'll follow up.
Yeah. We'll see you guys in the next one.